Good morning. Today is Monday, the 13th of June. I guess for some, it's first day of freedom. For others, it's finals week, Monday. Mm. Either way,
yeah,
things are wrapping up.
It's finals week for my son.
You say that like that's a bad thing.
I think he thinks it's a bad thing. I don't know.
Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Office of Ed. Oh, you got 100% so far, too.
So far, so good.
Michael Davis Hughes. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like you and Hansel. You guys can just go out and not worry about it at all. I mean, even with a low return so far, which is a whole different topic for a different show.
Yeah.
I think you guys have crossed that threshold point.
I'm happy for every vote.
Yeah. You ever curious about the ones that, if they do a write-in, who they write in? I'm sure a lot of them are like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You never see that stuff.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. I don't spend too much time dwelling on that, honestly.
No, that would be like a five-minute, I need a mental vacation kind of a thing.
As long as, you know, one of those people wasn't my wife and,
right.
You know, my adult daughters.
Well, I don't think they still don't, I think, hook it to the voter, but that's okay. All right. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
I have been looking forward to this all weekend, Brian.
Okay. Do we do lead pipe?
Doesn't matter if you've done
already?
It before. It'll probably help me.
No, I don't. Well, I can't tell if we did or not based on my notes here. Okay, lead pipe cinch was what I was going to go with, but I can't tell if we've already used that one or not.
All right.
So we won't.
It's not like
we'll
I remember anyway,
hedge.
Brian. I wouldn't even remember.
Well, it's not you. It's the masses.
Okay.
I don't want to be known as being forgetful.
So people out in Radioland are actually
playing
participating
the game?
Too.
Yeah, that's the concept.
That's great. Audience participation.
Yeah. Maybe that's something we need to figure out in the classroom. Smart guy.
No more coffee for you.
All right. Here we go. Why do we say hedge? That people hedge.
Well, a hedge is a... In the UK, we call the hedge a privet, actually. So I think it comes with the word privacy. It's a border between...
We call those bathrooms.
I'm just full of the giggles this morning, aren't you?
Well, you know, blue sky and nice breeze, and it's like all over.
We need Winston to have like a little drum roll. Tambourine going on. So as I was saying, Brian, a hedge is a privet between two properties. And so it's like being on the fence is when you're hedging your bets, you know, kind of playing it both ways. So that's where I think that a term hedge is a barrier between two sides.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have gone with something from your part of the world. Throughout much of Northern Europe, early farmers planted bushes and shrubs to serve as fences and boundary lines. Anglo-Saxons were partial to hawthorn, a row which they would call hedge. It was a mark of caution to plant hawthorn around a field or to hedge it. Eventually, the name of the barrier came to be used in connection with many kinds of safeguards. As a result, we say that a person who wagers on several horses rather than only on one hedges his bet. Many a person manages to hedge by avoiding direct promises and unqualified commitments.
I think
you got about a 9 on that one.
A 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you didn't nail what?
I didn't nail it completely because I didn't make reference to what a hedge is made of. Like you talked about hawthorn. So
yeah, those are nasty trees, huh?
Yeah. So let me think what we have back. Well, we have a lot of different hedges in the UK, but they're very dense. I mean, very dense. It's almost like a wall. It's so thick.
Well, probably like some of the escalonias and that kind of stuff. After a couple of years, or a lot of them, you prune them down low enough.
Yes.
It's going to start...
A lot of pruning.
And you just throw in a holly bush every once in a while. Mm-hmm. It takes care of all the riffraff.
Yeah, it's like barbed wire fence. Yeah, put a holly bush in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Razor wire.
Yeah. Or some of the thorny roses. You can have a rose hedge also.
Mm.
That would be impressive.
Pretty and deadly
at
the same time.
And hopefully a little smelly, too, every once in a while. Some of the fragrances.
Mm.
not decaying body parts. Fragrances.
Got it. Fragrances.
Yeah. We can go downhill or we can stay on the plane.
Yes,
your call.
Yes, let's stay on the plane.
All right, all right. We've got this time. Graduation week for some.
Yes.
Graduation week has passed for others.
Yeah.
How will 21-22 be remembered other than striving to achieve normalcy?
I think that for the students, it's going to be remembered as one where, you know, they've had to dive in and recommit in a lot of ways to try to get back to normalcy while having this experience of being through this pandemic, right, for the past 2.5 years. So I think there's been some renewal there on the parts of students. Like, they've kind of gotten used to having to roll with the punches, being very flexible. So I think this has continued to be the year of flexibility for the teachers and the staff. It's been an opportunity to try to make up for some lost ground with students, you know, some of that learning loss.
How much was?
Do you think how much ground was lost?
Do you think it was a year and a tenth, a year and a 20th, a year and a half worth of education?
Different for different kids, you know. What we saw was we saw disparities in the amount of impact for different groups of students. In other words, students that were already struggling struggled more. Those who are doing okay, for the most part, continued to do okay, you know, depending on what kind of supports they had in place. So obviously schools, teachers, staff members went in to support students who were struggling to try to make up for that lost ground. But it's tough, you know, because we have students for 6.5 hours a day and we can't control the environments beyond that. And those are different for every kid. So, it's been a struggle. But I'd say mixed bag, but one of hope. Let's end with that. For 2021, I think that students who are ending this year have hope looking into next year that things are going to be back to normal or a new normal or whatever we want to call it.
Next year?
Yeah.
Just call it next year?
Next year.
You know, I suspect that that part is the same.
Good to see students in going through graduation in person, right?
Yeah. Something normal-ish. Yeah. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County Office of Ed. So if this year is going to be one of like searching and grasping for normal and predictability, I still have a very difficult time talking with Buddy last week. State surplus now is at $97 billion. And yet we still have things that need to be addressed. When you talk to your buddies throughout the state, and you know that that's back there, you're going, okay, education's probably going to get a piece of this.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Where would you, let's say you got 10% and then prorate it out, however it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a windfall, boom, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go?
Yeah, and I will say that right now, looking at the proposed budget, which we should get a budget actually, a notification that the budget is at least in fundamentally approved by maybe the end of the day today, actually, because the deadline is June 15th.
about as close as you can get. But
So they'll probably have that figured out, I would expect, within the next couple of days. It's looking very good for education. Very good for education. You know, we had a lot of one-time monies that came in for COVID relief, state and federal money, to help us through COVID. This state budget looks good for education because it's ongoing funding, you know.
So they're locking down a commitment.
Yeah, locking down a commitment. So part of that is because of the Prop 98 guarantee that we have, which is where
but
we
got... education has gotten IOUs in the past.
Yeah.
Okay, you're guaranteed, but we're only going to pay you 94%. Well, okay.
Right.
You know, if PG&E accepts an IOU, I suppose you're okay. I don't think that they do. But I haven't tried it either.
Yes. So, the state is looking at some of those previously unfunded mandates, those things that we've had to do but haven't been paid to do or gotten extra money to do, you know, those things being paid for. And I think there's a significant investment in education that's going on right now, which is really healthy, I think, for our communities, healthy for our kids and our families. But going back to your question, so if and when we receive these monies, what are we going to do with them? There's no, you know, one size fits all, right? But what we do know is that early intervention for kids, early best first learning for kids is the best way to set them on the right path. And so there's, I would.
So the K-3?
The K-3. Even pre-K.
That's preschool, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Developmentally appropriate support for kids early on. And so there's a significant investment coming from the state in P3, so preschool through third grade. The state superintendent for public instruction, Tony Thurman, for example, has an initiative for every child a reader by third grade. And I wholeheartedly support that because we know... Read by third grade.
Isn't that... in place now?
Yeah, well, we would like that to be the case, but...
What percentage don't?
Oh, well, varies from community.
Dr. Seuss reading, and then we've got Ward Peace reading.
Reading with comprehension at grade level.
Okay.
Right? We have half our kids.
Is that like the Dick and Jane level? I mean, what is level at third grade? Most of us don't. Either remember or ever knew.
Yeah, so they, you know, different books have different readability levels. So I can't give you a book that would kind of correspond to that reading with comprehension.
Kind of an idea or a sense of what is third grade?
Third grade, they're learning, they're reading to learn, right? As opposed to learning to read. So now they're picking up those books. They're can read for content. Understanding plot development.
Still basic, not terribly complicated. 20-page.
Oh no! By third grade, they're reading. You know,
like Johnny Tremaine and that kind of stuff.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. So.
Now, where did that one come out of my subconscious?
I don't know. Was that a childhood experience for you?
Yeah, it was one of the books that I read. But, you know, you're talking to somebody who used to read the dictionary, too. So,
okay.
You know,
okay.
My relative normal is not for many people.
So, fundamentally...
on so many levels.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
I just got to touch it and back away.
Yes. That's a deeper conversation than a hedge. So... investing in early literacy, right? Both on the reading side, but also on the math side. Because
that's a whole different dynamic,
We know that students are struggling in math. I mean, I say that generally, right? But many students are struggling in math.
Wasn't that where the whole STEAM thing or STEM came
that's
from?
Right. That's
was
right.
To try to make that sexy, make it fun?
It is, and STEAM is very much, you know, alive and well. The other end of the spectrum in terms of where to invest is around the area of CTE. So career and technical education, having options for students.
Don't use your technical term, vocational ed.
Yeah.
I mean, for most of us, that's kind of what we think, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So having options for students for when they leave high school, you know, because not all students.
So some of it would be at the entry level of the education, the K-12. And the other would be at the end when it becomes decision time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's...
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County's Office of Ed. Looking into the future, you know, there's been an awful lot of talk in the private sector because we can't find labor. I don't suspect you guys are going to go with driver-free buses in the near future.
I don't know. AI, parents would let their kids onto those buses.
No, I don't think so either. But are there opportunities in the educational system to increase the utilization of artificial intelligence, either to make the classroom a more efficient, more comprehensive, more effective learning environment? I know you got the smart boards and all that kind of stuff, but there's got to be a whole bunch of technology that's out there.
Oh my goodness.
It's unaffordable at this point,
yeah.
But some cool stuff that's out there that could really kind of jumpstart either the vocational track kids that we were talking about at the end of the last segment, or some of the early ones. So when they do come to school, even if home isn't really that supportive, that they get an increased experience when they're at school that might help to balance out some of that lack of support at home.
Yeah, I think it's all about student engagement, you know, and students are definitely dialed into technology, right? So we can't be deniers of that. And we have to embrace that, I think, as educators. Again, it's a tool. I think we're always going to need that human interaction to get that.
Yeah, one can't be at the expense of the other.
No. I will tell an experience I had probably a month ago with VR, so virtual reality. I'd never, you know, it's where you put the goggles on.
Okay.
And so this was specific. This was through our college to career, our trades academy, actually. So Jack Shepherd, who works in our trades academy, he was looking to get some approval for getting these VR devices for students, specifically targeting middle school students, to get them excited about vocational ed, if you want to call it that, CTE.
Before they hang out with the sharp things that can hurt you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I tell you what I had the experience to do. I had this experience of changing the oil in a vehicle that was on a rack virtually in my office. I wore gloves that were dialed in electronically, connected to sensors,
okay,
all that stuff, and then these goggles. It was unbelievable. I mean, I was an avatar in this 3D world that
was
very, very real. but I had horns.
Oh, okay.
It was great. And I mean, it was amazing. I got to put the vehicle up on the rack. I got to reach into the tray to pick up the tools. I got the wrench to undo the plug. I drained the oil into a container. All of that stuff. It was unbelievable. So I thought, you know, if I'm excited at my age, this has got to get kids excited. So
and probably very little mechanical desire. Yeah.
I take my...
It's like that would be a waste of time other than the experience.
Yes.
Don't train me on that because that ain't going to happen. I don't do that very well.
Right. And so they had...
But the opportunity that's there...
Yes.
That is intriguing.
It was absolutely... It blew my mind.
How expensive are those things?
They are... Gosh, I wish I knew the price on that.
What?
Like $1,000.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
For the program and the gear?
Yeah.
Well, I would think that that would probably be something that would be like almost a no-brainer. Well, unless it has a really short
I wrote the check. or signed the approval. Let's
yeah,
say
okay.
That. Signed the approval to get a.
So you get a classroom
of
those, or you get two or three of them. I mean, how do you?
I think we got.
That?
I think we got 8 or 9 units of them for Jack to take around, and you know have kids get excited about
kinda
CT.
Kind of like career day.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's taking it with him, he's not going to leave it there.
No, he's not going to leave it there.
Yeah.
But these are pretty robust things. They're pretty hardy. I mean, because hey, you put anything in the hands of an eighth grader,
yeah, bingo.
It's got to be like bomb-proof.
Yeah.
You know?
Are there a lot of other options along those lines that I would think not only could enhance the experience, but be able to get kids to kind of identify if this is something they're excited about.
That's exactly right. It's about experimentation with that stuff, you know, seeing what is possible without having, because we have limited opportunities for kids to go to an auto shop to actually do this kind of stuff. You know, they're going to go over to, you know.
As a 14-year-old or a 13-year-old.
Yeah, and say, hey, can I change the oil? Can I have the experience of changing the oil?
Something about labor law comes into play real quickly. And
OSHA,
ADA, yeah, the whole nine
all
yards.
That stuff. But
yeah.
If you can do it in your classroom by wearing these goggles and these gloves, yeah, it is just amazing what is available.
Now, I would suspect that Jack has already reached out to some of the local service departments.
Yeah.
And said, hey, Mike, can you put this on?
Hmm.
Go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your impression
back.
Let me know, is this something that we should go forward with? And if kids master this, what's your impression of them as either a part-time job or a summer job when they come of age?
Mm-hmm.
And make that true link across the board.
Yeah. Well, you think how do pilots
have the simulators,
right? They get into those simulators.
Hopefully. They're in simulators. Yeah. If they're in row 8 next to me, things are going to be, we're going to talk.
Wow, you get to go to row 8. I've got to go all the way back to row 37.
Oh, these are in planes that have 15 seats.
Okay, all right.
You know, hopefully I get the emergency exit seat. If not, life is rough for the guy in front of me, too. But is there a lot of these that are out there? I mean, is this the first of like 5 or 6 that you're looking at or considering?
Well, I haven't looked into it like Jack has, but I think this is an increasing trend that we're going to see in terms of virtual reality experiences for kids.
So what does it look like for the little guys, the K-3s?
Yeah. You know, I'm sure there are options out there. That in this VR world, it's more play-based, right?
Right. Well, I suppose you could do comprehension. You know, read this and then act it,
mm-hmm.
or make the choices based on that information.
Yeah.
You endure whatever, you know, kind of like Let's Make a Deal. You remember? You probably
don't remember that.
No,
no.
Jeez.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up with that.
It has to do with hedges. KINS, News and Information Time. It's
8:43. Privets.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to several cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. So now that you're going to be getting a new budget, and you're kind of like the head recommender for a lot of different, or overseer might be a better term for a lot of the districts. You've got some of these training
you
tools.
Didn't say like overlord.
No.
Yeah.
You left the cape out in the car. What are you going to be talking to your folks about? I mean, we've got the security issues. Certainly that we're seeing all over.
Sadly, yes.
Throughout the country, and some are more advanced than others. Okay. I don't think... Yeah, we've got the campus cop. We heard Eureka's Eureka PD is looking for one. Fortuna's got one. Arcata's got one. You know, those types of things that are, it's not what textbook or yes or no to a textbook. It's something significantly different. But it's all part of that educational experience. What are you going to be looking at or reflecting on, I guess, might be a better term, to at least bring up in discussions with the various school districts and superintendents that are out there?
Yeah, for sure. I have the opportunity to meet with superintendents. We meet as a district superintendents and myself meet about every 3 months, or every quarterly, to discuss,
one coming up pretty soon then.
Well, we just had one. So what are some things that are coming up? I mean, staffing is a huge piece right now, just finding staff to fill positions. So how can we be creative about that? And obviously, we're not the only sector that's struggling with that. So you mentioned school safety. School safety is like, it's the number one priority that we have, right, for kids, to make sure that they are safe at school, because if they don't feel safe, they're not going to learn. We know that. What are the ways in which we can make sure students are feeling safe at school? And I'm not talking about just, you know, lack of fear of outside entities and
more than just for the physicalness.
Just that feeling of being sense of community. Those are the discussions that we're having, in those social emotional well-being of kids, so they feel connected at school, they feel safe at school, they want to be there, they want to learn. So we're talking a lot about,
and
how
their folks do too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, one of the things, and I mentioned this before, one of the silver linings of the pandemic is that we really connected as an educational community with parents more than ever before, because we needed them more than ever before, right? You know, the kids were at home for a period of time. They were Zooming in. We were giving materials to parents and explaining them how to use those. We were regularly communicating with parents. I don't want to see us lose that piece. So how can we continue to get families involved in their child's education at a deeper level across the board? I mean, I think that's a responsibility that we have. We have to do more outreach and pull parents in, because we know that that's the only way that we're really going to reach kids in a big way. It's only so much we can do by ourselves.
And I would think that's culturally, that's not classroom by classroom, that's not teacher by teacher, that's everybody's on board.
Yeah, it's what kind of strategies work best, you know, and then how do we also partner with other organizations, local organizations.
Like your virtual, connecting you with that industry.
Yeah.
Whatever that
sure.
industry
business,
might
business
be.
Business, and also, you know, other areas like within DHHS, for example, about providing support for students, mental health supports for students. So, a lot of discussions going on around building community schools. There's some money that's come in from the state, significant investment from the state in what's called community schools. And I'm not talking about community schools in the traditional sense of students who have been expelled or are not succeeding in class, but rather building schools that represent the community in a more holistic way.
Like the charter school concept?
No.
Is that part of that?
It's like a wraparound service for students. So we're not just focusing on the academic aspects of supporting students. We're talking about the mental health services. We're talking about bringing in the supports that students need to be successful.
So for all students, or for those that have identified as needing some of those services?
Yeah, for all. I mean, you can target it wherever you want, but really it's to improve the overall education for students in a holistic way, that well-rounded way.
Oh, sure. Now you bring up the H word at the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, I talked about, you know, VR. That's like holograms,
yeah,
holistic.
I know. It's all this techno-goovy stuff. We'll talk about it in July.
Sounds good.
Happy graduation week. See everybody tomorrow.